God appeared to him
with the ladder from heaven. And we've seen God begin to bless him, and God blessed him in the midst of where Laban was at. Once in Paddan Aram, he gets married and starts a family with not one, but two wives and sisters at that. And the problems seem to come just as the blessings do as well. Jacob is blessed by God. He doesn't make perfect decisions, but stumbling along, he still has faith in the Lord. We saw how that the barrenness of Rachel combined with a lack of love toward Leah resulted in a marriage fraught with bitterness and competition, spite and unmet expectations. And so very quickly, he has many children. With the birth of Joseph, though, Jacob renegotiates his contract and arrangement with Laban. I'll ask you to look at chapter 30 down at verse 25. Verse 25, that's where we'll pick up tonight. It came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, "Send me away that I may go unto my own place and to my own country." In the balance of this chapter and the beginning of the next, we're going to see some things, some important lessons that really have to do with work ethic. They have to do with faith. They have to do with faithfulness. And they have to do with God blessing us in spite of the world seeking to sabotage us. Sometimes we see things happening, we're working along, you're doing what you should be doing, and other people's unethical behavior, we feel like jeopardizes our success. You ever seen that? Okay. Well, let me tell you something. When you just stay faithful to the Lord, you allow God to handle it, and He blesses His people in spite of it. And we see that happening here with Jacob. God can bless in spite of the unethical actions of others. I'm going to preach tonight a message entitled "Cheated Yet Prospering." Beginning in verse 25, Jacob desires to leave. He's fulfilled his time with Laban, and so he wants to leave. Verse 25, it says that. He says unto Laban, "Send me away that I may go unto my own place and to my country." You know, living in somebody else's house, being provided for, it's a blessing. Let's face it, we enjoy being guests. But it's not your house. There's no place like home. That's exactly right. And so he wants to go back home. 14 years have passed. Esau has probably cooled down. You know, I wonder what's happening with mom and dad. And as the son of promise, he was supposed to inherit his father's possessions. And you can't blame him. He wants to go back home. Now, I believe it's because his contract has ended. In fact, if you look at verse 26, what does he say? He says, "Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee." Past tense, it's done. He agreed to serve him for 7 years for the first wife. He worked for 7 years, got married, and then said, "Hey, this is not the right wife." So Laban says, "Well, you fulfill her week, and then I'll give you the next one, and then you'll serve me another 7 years." So he serves for another 7 years. And I believe this was at the end of that time. "And at the end of that time, I've served you completely." Notice what he says, "Let me go, for thou knowest my service, which I have done thee." I'm finished. I've been faithful. He's asking permission, basically wanting the blessing of Laban, who is the one who's in charge of the house. He would be taking both Laban's daughters and Laban's grandchildren. It'd be like your kids saying, "Mom, Dad, we want to move to Alaska. Can we have your blessing?" "Well, sure, but leave the grandkids, right?" They're going to take them all. And Jacob says, I want to go. And by the way, if you notice, he worked for 7 years, got married to both sisters at either end of 1 week. I believe that's what the text says. And then he worked another 7 years. That means he had 11 sons and one daughter in 7 years. Wow. That family exploded. So Jacob, for his faults, we look at this, and he was true to his word. He fulfilled his contract. He says, "Thou knowest how I have served thee, what I have done. I have done what I agreed to do, even though you didn't." He doesn't say that, but he might as well have. He was faithful. You know, God's people ought to be faithful to their word. God's people ought to be faithful to their word. When we go out into the world, you know, nothing bothered me more when I was working a job and out not, you know, bivocational, and I would meet somebody who was a Christian, and they would claim to be a Christian so that everybody knew, and then they were unethical. I really wanted to distance myself from that person. I am too, but not like that, you know. God's people should have a reputation of faithfulness. In fact, Jesus makes this comment in Matthew. He says, "You've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, neither by the earth, for it's his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou cannot make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay, for whatsoever is more of these cometh evil." You know what he's saying? He's saying your word should be your bond. You shouldn't have to add things to your word to intensify it. When you say it, do it. Stick with your word. Jacob did. And so now he's asking to leave. But look at what Laban says in verse 27. By the way, Laban is a good example of a shrewd businessman. But he doesn't really have godly priorities. And we'll see this here. Laban said unto him, "I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry. For I've learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." You know, Laban looks at him, and his answer reveals that he's looking out for number one. This is not a spiritual answer. This is a very materialistic answer. God's blessing me because you are here. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, "Jacob, I don't want you moving away. I've grown to love you like a son. I'll miss you. I'll miss my grandkids." No, you know what he says? "I've been getting rich because you're here, and I just want you to stay so I can get richer." In fact, Jacob was such an asset that Laban lets Jacob set the terms of the new contract. Look what it says there. He says, verse 28, "Appoint me thy wages, and I will give it." He says, "I want you to stay. Just work for me. Tell you what, tell me what you want, and I'll give it to you." He recognized how valuable Jacob was. You know, there's a tremendous lesson of faithfulness here and blessing even in the world. I believe, you know, following on this lesson of faithfulness, if we are faithful, when God's people interact with the world, they don't have to be superb in their performance or abilities. All you need to do is follow simple Bible principles, and the world will recognize the benefit of having God's people. Think of the commandments in Scripture that we are commanded to do regardless of where we work that will set you apart from the rest of the workforce. How about this one? Putting your heart into your work. You know, the Bible commands that. Ecclesiastes 9 says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might." If you do that and simply obey the Bible, you'll be eons ahead of most of the workforce. How about dependability, faithfulness, obedience, excellence? The Scripture says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing the Lord." How about these things? The other things that are commanded: kindness, peace, forgiveness, joy, long-suffering, respect. Those are commanded of believers. If we simply obey the Word of God, Christians will be an asset to their secular employers, such that though they may not agree with your religion, they want you around for materialistic purposes. Are we on the same page? Yeah. Whether or not your employer believes in God, many times they believe in the benefit of having God's people working for them because they can see it. It's on the bottom line. And so Laban says, "Stick around. In fact, I'll let you set the contract." So Jacob does. Look at verse 29. He forms a new contract with Laban. Now, up to this point, Jacob's family had been growing, but Laban's flocks had been growing. So Jacob has a lot of family, but he doesn't have a lot of stuff or wealth. Verse 29, he says this. He said unto him, "Thou knowest how I serve thee, and how thy cattle was with me, for it was little which thou had before I came. Before I came, you didn't have much. And now it's increased unto a multitude, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for mine own house also? Now I have a lot of people in my house, 11 sons, 4 wives, anyway. See, God hadn't just blessed a little. Jacob had made Laban rich. Jacob's family was provided for while he was working there, but he didn't have wealth of his own. So this is what he comes up with. By the way, he doesn't ask for payback or for a gift. He doesn't say, you know, pay me back for all of those years or a gift. Verse 31, Laban says, What shall I give thee? And Jacob said, Thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. So here's the plan he comes up with. He asks for a commission-based contract. Essentially, that's what this is. Verse 32, I will pass through all of thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and spotted and speckled among the goats. And of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come. When it shall come for my hire before my face, thy face, every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. See, what's happening is Jacob is saying, you have been increasing. And as you're increasing, I've noticed there's some of these number over here that you probably don't want. They're the remnants, you know, they're the speckled and spotted. They're not pure. You've done exceptionally well. And as you increase, I'd like a portion of the increase. And by the way, it's just a fraction. This would be an ongoing contract, starting now and continuing, both the speckled and the brown that you have, and those that are born, they'll be mine. And if any are with me that are not like that, you can say that I stole them. Well, Laban thinks it's a good idea. Laban's a businessman, and he looks, and hey, it's just a fraction. Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. And so he takes delivery of the animals, verse 35. He removed that day the goats that were ring-straked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hands of his sons. So Jacob says, I'm going to take all these ones that are speckled, that are not pure-colored, out of the midst of the flock. These are mine. I'm going to separate them so there's no mingling. All right? And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Laban probably thinks, once and done, right? Because if you take all of the speckled and spotted and ring-straked out, and all you have is pure left, those pure-colored animals are just going to produce pure-colored animals, right? So Laban's probably thinking, he's not going to get anything else. That was not a very good deal, Jacob. But Jacob has a plan. How to increase my commission. Commission-based, but increased my commission. By the way, I never have liked the idea of working a commission-based job. I've always been an hourly laborer. I just want to do the work and get paid, you know? Man, but this guy, Jacob sets up a breeding operation. Look what he does in verse 37. Verse 37. He peeled back part of the bark from select tree branches. Verse 37. Jacob took him rods, tree branches, doesn't say what size, maybe small, some large, of the green poplar and hazelnut and chestnut tree, and peeled white streaks among them, and made the white appear which was in the rods. If you've ever taken like a green piece of wood and stripped back the bark, some of the sap comes out, right? You can see the cambium layer. There's a cambium layer between the outer bark and the inner wood. And so that's what he does. He strips them. And as the bark was peeled back, the sap appeared. Then he places them in the watering trough where these animals came. Verse 38. He set the rods that he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters in the watering troughs. And when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. That's kind of interesting. The sheep, by the way, sheep will eat anything. I raised a couple sheep for 4-H, and they would eat anything. They're notoriously dumb animals. They will eat good stuff, and they will eat bad stuff, and they will eat just stuff, all right? And grass and anything else, yeah. And so these animals, they would have eaten the sticks as well, all right? They would have, the water would have been dosed with whatever was in the sap of these trees. And as the females were at the trough drinking, the male animals would come up and breed with them. But Jacob did something. He selectively applied this to the stronger females so the speckled offspring would be his own. Look at verse 41. It came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in, so the feeble cattle, by the way, they bred anyway, but they were Laban's, and the stronger cattle, Jacob's. So he's making some choices. And whenever speckled or brown lambs were born, he immediately pulled them out of the herd. Verse 39. The flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle ring-straked, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring-straked, meaning they're the ones that would drink out of the water that had been dosed with these tree branches, and all the brown in the flock of Laban, and he put his own flocks by themselves. Again, he didn't leave them there so they could continue to crossbreed, and then Laban would say, well, you're doing this on purpose. He always pulled them out. So every time Laban would come and look, all he'd see was pure white or pure whatever color. But then Jacob's flocks were over here. Well, this is pretty odd. In fact, what's interesting is this section of Genesis 30 is attacked by Bible critics and deniers of divine inspiration. They say, well, those people in the ancient Near East, this was nothing but hocus pocus or folklore to believe that this could actually do something. And they portray Jacob like this ignorant, superstitious person thinking that by making animals look at a spotted stick, they'll have spotted offspring. Okay? To make matters worse, I love commentaries. They're really good. But did you know that some of the commentaries, they actually say this? They say that he was putting the marked colored rods there so that when the sheep saw different colors, they'd give birth to different offspring. Okay, no, looking at colors will not change the color of your children. Do not be afraid of that, all right? That's not the way it works, okay? In fact, there's an article in Answers in Genesis, and it's entitled Jacob's Odd Breeding Program of Genesis 30 by Troy Lacey. It was written April 26th of 2019. And it answers some of these questions. We'll get into it, but I'll tell you this. There's a couple questions that I had, and they're actually answered in the next chapter. There's three of them. What's going on here? This is weird. Where did he come up with this? Number two, if he removed all of the speckled offspring, how did they keep producing more? And number three, is Jacob cheating Laban? And I had a Bible professor who said Jacob was being unethical in the way that he treated Laban. I don't believe so, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. But in order to answer those, we need to read the next chapter. Look at verse 43. The man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and men servants and camels and asses. So it did work, this contract. But Laban realizes that Jacob's commission is greater than he had originally bargained. Wait a second, I just gave you a fraction of what I had. My herd doesn't seem to be increasing. In fact, they're kind of weak looking. But my goodness, you are increasing like crazy over there. He becomes hostile. Look at verse 1. He heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all his glory. So he hears the boys talking, Jacob's sons, and, you know, Jacob would have been the son-in-law. He would have been the in-law. I don't know if you guys have in-laws or outlaws, or maybe you treat him that way, but he would have been the odd man out. And so he realizes that Laban's becoming jealous. Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. You know, if he liked Jacob before, he doesn't like him now. Businessmen don't like it when they're losing at somebody else's benefit. But none of us do, really, okay? So what did he do? Well, God appears to him. Verse 3, the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Up until this time, God had not told him to leave, but now God gives him a commandment, and he also gives him what else? A promise. He says, you leave, and I'll be with you. That's a promise of provision, a promise of protection. Jacob could do that in faith. And so he calls his wives together. Look at verse 3. The Lord said unto Jacob, verse 4. Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field of his flock. And he said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it's not toward me as before, but the God of my fathers hath been with me. So he makes a decision to return home. Now here's the rest of the story. We saw his inventive breeding program. It might raise an eyebrow or make us go, that's kind of weird. But then we find what actually took place. I have to keep reading. Verse 6. He said, Laban has tried to cheat me this whole time. Ye know, verse 6, that with all my power I've served your father, and your father hath deceived me and changed my wages. How many times there, folks? 10 times. So who's cheating who? But God suffered him not to hurt me. See, Jacob wasn't cheating Laban. He was simply trying to keep from being cheated himself. Laban kept changing the terms of the deal. But God prospered him. In fact, look at the next verse. If he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ringstrake shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ringstrake. You know what he was doing? He was like a good lawyer, or a rotten lawyer. He was putting in the small print in those contracts, and they say, oh, but you didn't read that line of the small print. And so you go down and you read it, and you go, well, I never would have signed it if I saw that there. And that's why they put it in small print. And he kept changing the terms. Okay, I'll give you the spotted ones. And then the spotted ones just keep producing. And Laban goes, you know what? I'm changing it. Speckled ones. And so guess what? Next year, by the way, the lambs here in the ancient Near East, they would lamb twice a year, the sheep would. And so he could change it twice a year, you know? It could go on for 5 years that way. But every time he changed it, boom! It ended up in Jacob's favor, not his favor. 10 times, Jacob says. Why? Because God prospered him. In fact, look at verse 9. Thus hath God taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. See, God was the one giving him more offspring. It didn't matter that Laban was being unethical. It didn't matter that all this stuff was happening. See, Jacob wasn't cheating anyone. God was doing this. And we need to remember this when things are not in our favor, when we feel like stuff's just not fair, and we feel like we need to fight fire with fire. We think we'll suffer because of somebody else's unethical behavior. The scripture says in 1 John 4:4, it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And Jacob is saying, God did this for me. Laban's tried to cheat me this whole time, but God prospered me. In fact, the plan seems to have come from God. Now, we ask the question, if you have a group that's mixed and you take all the spotted ones out and all you have left is pure white, then how do you keep getting spotted ones as offspring? Well, look at verse 10 through 12. It came to pass at the time the cattle conceived. So evidently this was at the beginning of that contract, or even possibly before it, that God gave him this idea. I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ringstraked, speckled, and grizzled. Now, he hadn't talked about the rams yet. All he's talked about was the lambs and them conceiving. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, I've said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leapt upon the cattle are ringstraked, speckled, and grizzled. For I've seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. Now, this is an interpretive answer. There are both dominant and recessive genetic characteristics. The genetics for speckled animals were the ones and the pure colored ones, though they may have been recessive. So you can have recessive genes in an animal and not know it. You know, like there's genes for being tall. That's recessive. There wasn't enough tall genes in my family. Otherwise, some of us would be tall. But maybe my son Jeremiah might. He's 12 years old, and he's as tall as I am. 12 years old, he's going to be taller than me. So he got those recessive genetics. If you were to look at his mom, look at me, you'd say, you're not going to have any tall kids. There's recessive genes there. Now, who could know that? Could Jacob know that? Jacob couldn't know that. But you know who could know that? God could know that. And he says, look at the rams that are speckled and spotted. And so he's giving Jacob this idea before this took place. That's where this came from. All that Jacob needed to do was to know which ones had recessive genes and encourage them to breed. And it seemed that God was showing him the underlying genetics of the flock without using those words. So what did Jacob do? Well, he just gave him some extra help of herbs and extra food to help those who had the genetics. By the way, God's talking about breeding here. The rams jumped upon and he's talking about breeding. So his plan came from God. And the third question, you know, about the genetics, the third one, so he kind of puts these things together. He combined his vision from the Lord with a knowledge of herbal remedies. By the way, what do we call it when you take leaves and put them in water and then drink the water? Tea. Now, some tea you get actually has sticks in it, too. It does, all right? You call it tea. There are dozens of trees whose bark has different effects. And did you know that there are dozens of trees whose bark has reproductive and fertility-related benefits? Now, this is out of an article from Answers in Genesis. They make this comment. It's 2 pages. I'm not going to read it all. They talk about the ones used. Poplar, for one, is used here. And it says, poplar supplementation increased yew productivity rate by approximately 20 to 30% units for the low and high treatment groups, respectively, compared to the control group, yada, yada. So it increases fertility. Okay, we'll leave it there. Almond. Sweet almond has been shown to have several benefits for ruminants. That's animals that chew the cud. They also write the next reference that Jewish people have used almond tree bark to increase the production of mother's milk and decrease birth pangs in livestock. They talk about one of the trees mentioned there. It's the oriental plane tree, chestnut or sycamore, and it's been shown to have anti-inflammatories extracted by the wood and the water. So what was Jacob doing? Well, he was following the vision that God had given him. He was applying some science there, botany and pharmacology and faith. Trusting God's vision, applying the knowledge that he had, and you know what? God blessed him. This has nothing to do with superstition. It has everything to do with a man doing the best that he could by faith in God. And by the way, who worked to make sure the animals bred and supplemented them with certain plants? Who did that? Jacob did. He's the one that took the sticks and peeled off the... He did all the work, okay? Could he make an animal have a baby? No, you can't do that. Who does Jacob say blessed him? God. 31 verse 7, he says this, your father hath deceived me 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. He makes the comment in verse 9. He says, God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given unto me. And so Jacob worked and God blessed. And this is really the way we ought to live, whether folks are treating us fairly, whether they're treating us unethically, whether it's a Laban or a Pharaoh or whoever it is, work as if it depends on you and believe that it all depends on God. And that's what Jacob is doing. He's faithful, and he's working, and he's using the intelligence, and he's using the science, and he's using, you know, they didn't use the word science there, but that's what it is. Knowing that it worked, that it depends. Folks, contracts are not evil. I had a preacher tell me one time that he thought contracts were evil, and you should never enter into a contract because, and this is what he said. He said, well, how do you know if God's going to ask you to do something and then break the contract? And I said, well, you can't pray about it. The Lord couldn't reveal it to you beforehand. Contracts aren't evil. If you write a contract or you say something, you do it. Be faithful, all right? If you make one, fulfill it, even if you don't like it. But I'd say this as well. Working to increase your profit is not evil either. Jacob worked hard. However, the child of God ought always to be faithful, always to be ethical, and always trusting in God as the one who will increase it. At the end of the day, if you increase, it's God who has increased you. You say, but I use my strength and I use my intelligence. Okay, all right. And the Lord allowed you to keep breathing every single day. In fact, in the book of Deuteronomy, God says, it is I who have given thee the power to do these things. Without him, you could do nothing. You can plant, you can water, but you can't grow a tree without his help. You can use veterinary science, you can go out and work every single day, folks, but you know what? You will not increase without God's help. And if God is on your side, it doesn't matter if people are being unethical. You be faithful, and the Lord will bless you. And by the way, in the meantime, you know what the world sees? The world sees somebody who's being faithful to biblical principles, and though they don't really believe in your God, some of them will. They can't deny the evidence of your life. And Laban's not a good man. There's some things we learn about him later. But he couldn't argue with the blessing of God on Jacob's life. Would to God that would be true for us. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray, God, that it might be an encouragement to each one of us as we go in this world and we struggle sometimes. It's hard to keep going. Things don't seem fair. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us just to obey your word, to keep a faithful testimony, to honor you, to trust in you for our provision, so that at the end of the day, we don't fear because other people are unethical, but we trust you, that we might work as if it all depends on us, knowing that it all depends on you. We thank you for your word, dear Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed? Let me encourage you to faithfulness tonight. Maybe God's spoken to your heart in an unrelated area. Maybe he's impressed something to you. Talk to the Lord as the piano plays.